What's up, Wisconsin? This is Raised in Wisco. I'm your host, Joel Clayfish. And as always, next to me, running and gunning, river riding and sliding this weekend on her new boat, co-host of the show, Danielle Fairman. And oh my goodness, I'm so hungry, and it's a good thing we got Chef Ellie Lawton, the certified chefferie of Raised in Wisco, along with us today, because this is going to be a lot like when you go to the grocery store and you're hungry. We're going to talk about food today on the show. We're going to talk a lot about Wisconsin foods, wild games, what to pair with them, which brings me into our guest, Megan Salad Bar Salazar, joining us today.
Oh, I like the resident guest.
What's that?
I'm the resident guest.
You're the resident guest?
Yeah.
Do you live here now?
Practically.
You practically live. You are the resident. And you brought along Dave Sella, expert sportsman, game camera aficionado.
That's a new title.
That is a new title.
Nice.
Well, I do notice that if Dave is around, he's not flipping through TikTok or Instagram.
Nope.
He's on the game cams, especially during deer season.
That is true. Very true.
Well, I'm excited about today's show because we're going to talk a lot today about eating wild game. Because Megan Salazar is a sommelier. Danielle and I are definitely eaters.
Yes, this is very true.
And Chef Lawton and Megan, as our guest today, is going to be talking about what to pair with wild game. And there is no better time to talk about that than now, because in Wisconsin, for me personally, it does not get better than this time of year.
Agreed.
Everything's open. Duck season opener was a week ago today. The goose is open. Deer is open. Mourning dove is still open.
Squirrel.
Turkey's open. Squirrel's open. I love squirrel. It's a little nutty.
Oh
boy.
He's still going with that one.
Jacob. We got Noah Morris from Morris Original in the fishbowl with us today. And of course, manning the board, as always, is the master of disaster, Jacob. How's it going, Jacob? How you been?
There's no disaster yet, so I'm doing really good.
Yes.
I feel good about
this
one.
Well, I figured if I said the master of disaster, we'd actually have a chance of getting through with no disasters. Because it seems like if you prep for something, that's when it doesn't. No, I think when you prep for it, it doesn't happen. And if you don't prep for it is when it happens.
Yeah. It's like Murphy's Law.
It is Murphy's Law.
Yeah,
that's
that
why
thing.
if you take a butchering knife or a fillet knife along with you on a hunt, then you don't harvest anything. If you leave the knife at
that
home.
That happened.
Yeah.
Yeah, that happens.
That does happen.
That happens quite a bit, as a matter of fact. All right. Hey, let's do weekly Wiscos, because last Saturday was the opener of the duck season opener, and we finally have some cooler weather.
Yeah, it has been beautiful.
It's beautiful. It has been unbelievably hot and sticky and humid, which is not conducive to movement of animals.
Happiness.
And finally, halfway through the week,
it makes me happy.
Yeah,
I'm so tired of being warm.
Yeah, see, I like it a little bit.
It's hard to hunt
cooler.
Though in this weather.
It is hard to hunt in this weather because nothing's moving. Megan Salazar, let's start with our guest, the sommelier. You know what? You're the sommelier pirate.
She's a sommelier.
Jacob now.
I think that's is Jacob the one who brought that up the first time? Jacob, is it okay?
That's my most famous bit on the whole show. Was when I said sommelier pirate.
He worked for weeks on that one.
Yeah.
No one put it up on the teleprompter for me and everything, and I EQ'd me up and I got it.
I'm going to give credit where credit's due, Jacob. But I really do think that is such a good nomiker for her that we're going to call Megan Salazar the sommelier pirate.
Arg.
Wait, so does that mean we're not using salad bar anymore?
Megan, the salad bar. Salazar, the sommelier pirate.
Why am I
such a tyrant in all
way
of these?
Too long.
All right, who's the phone is vibrating so loud I can hear it through my headphones? We are never unconnected. That's how this world works. All right, let's do weekly Wiscos. Megan, what do you got?
Well, I guess it's going to be like everyone else's. Southern duck opener, which I've never done before. As much as I've waterfowl hunted, I've never hunted opener.
Nice.
So okay. I did.
How did it go?
We got our limit of wood ducks on Sunday.
How did you enjoy it?
I loved it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Good.
I don't know why I can wake up at 3 a.m. every single day when it's not work, and then come Monday when it is work, I sleep until 8:30. Uh-huh.
Do you notice that is absolutely the truth? When the alarm goes off to go hunting or fishing in the morning, it's like nothing. But when you wake up to go to work.
Or the gym enough. Or anything
or
else.
The gym. Yeah. Yeah, that's a good one. Danielle, what do you got?
Oh, guess what? Guess it.
Play the guessing game.
Yes.
The Southern Duck opener of Wisconsin. That's, yep. I don't know how you can complain about that one. That's pretty fantastic as well. I'm doing something different. I'm going to go and I'm going to give a little shout out to Luke, who runs the new meat eater store in the Five Points. I'm going to use that as my weekly Wisco. I stopped in the meat eater store, very friendly folks there, and they've got some wild game recipes there. As well, and some of the cookbooks. And that was interesting. I think anytime you can expand the base of people who enjoy eating wild game and enjoy eating wild foods, that's exciting. And it's neat to see that, especially, and I'm not going to, you know, Brookfield, Wisconsin is an area that's, you know, it's not a very huntable municipality.
Agreed.
There's not a lot of land that's available, and the ordinances there are pretty tight. And to see a store open that encourages hunting, harvesting, and using of the game and eating of it, I think that's exciting.
And the
that
opening
tells me that we as hunters are doing a good job making folks understand that we are serious about the resource and like to use it to the best of its potential. So I was happy to see a store about hunting and eating food open in the Milwaukee area. I thought that was great.
For their opener for the meat eater store, that was 2 weeks ago, I believe.
Yeah.
Sure. There was lines both directions down
That's
the
awesome.
Street waiting for that store to open.
That's
so
great.
There was a huge
We
showing.
Should open a Raised in Wisco store.
Oh, that is no.
Why not?
Yeah, why I mean, not? Online,
are you,
yes.
Joel,
but
are you going to work it?
The
rest of us have stuff to do.
Would it take away from hunting?
Yeah.
Yes.
Then no.
Unless it's going to be a traveling store. You just have a trailer open wherever you're sitting.
The trailer wherever we're hunting.
Yeah.
Yeah, but then you give away our spot.
Yeah.
That's okay.
We could just go to like farmers markets or something.
We could. We could do that. Or
you know what?
Make it an online store.
You guys go do that.
How about an online store?
Or we could just have everybody listen to the show. That could be our version.
I like that one. Let's go with that one.
Chef Lawton, what was your weekly Wisco?
Duck opener. It was a beautiful day.
Yeah.
Beautiful.
I mean, it's. I do have to admit, I mean, this past week, I think it was Tuesday, was the most beautiful day. It was cool in the morning, and then when it heats up with a little breeze to about 65 to 70, and then it cools off again at night. Mm-hmm. That is my favorite time of year.
Yeah,
and then
it's
fall
perfect.
Is in the air, and that's also the most exciting time.
Agreed.
The air just smells different.
Yeah.
Yeah, it sure does. Sella, what do you got? Do you have a
I do,
Wisco?
Actually. It's not. It's a weekly lesson learned.
Oh, I'm so excited.
I'm excited about
like
this
Danielle.
One.
Danielle's usually the one with the downer weekly Wisco.
It's not a downer.
Yeah, this is a teachable moment.
It's a very teachable moment.
Coachable moment.
We're, like, for 28 years, we're trying to figure out if you could walk from the blind back to the cabin. It's about a quarter mile walk.
Okay, excuse me. How could it take 28 years to find out if you could walk a quarter mile?
Because
ambition.
Because you weren't forced to figure it out.
Okay.
We usually had a full tank of gas.
Oh,
Meg needs to explain that this quarter mile is across water, not just like land. So that's why they haven't tried it yet.
Dave, give us all the deets.
So we get like, we hunt the one spot in the morning to see if we can get wood ducks. We flew to our blind. And we get to the blind, and we put our decoys out, and we hunt, and we ended up shooting some ducks. And on the way back, I said to my buddy, I was like, hey, I'm just going to, like, walk around. Just we'll pick up the decoys that way, and then we'll jump in the boat and go that quarter mile. The motor did not start.
Well, you know what boat stands for, right?
It wasn't
Bust
that.
Bust out another 1,000?
Bring on, right. Bring me another 1,000, yes.
Well, it literally, like, I ran out of gas, and we're like, okay, we just have to make it, like, quarter mile.
You ran out of gas on the duck season opener, Dave?
Yeah, I have a jet drive motor.
Okay.
It literally will suck gas down like no other.
Oh, okay, but
goodness.
Tell us how
so
you got
you know
back.
That, why didn't
I start walking. I start walking. and it probably got
walking
about,
out in water.
No, I was walking in the water okay. in the muck, and I was like, okay, it's not that bad. You're going. And next thing you know, it's just getting a little deeper. So I just of hang course. Under the boat a little bit.
Murphy's Law, yes.
And next thing you know, my feet are just touching the muck a little bit, and then it's not touching anything anymore.
Wow.
So for about like 15, 20 yards, my buddy had to push us. And all I was doing is running under the water.
Well, yeah, I would consider that a spiritual moment. You had a Jesus moment. You were walking on water for a little while.
Walking in water.
But your feet weren't touching the bottom, were they?
No. So I guess
you were basically walking in Memphis.
So
what?
With his feet 10 feet off the beam, right?
Exactly.
10 feet off the bottom. That
10
is
feet
a
off
sign.
The muck.
So
oh, that's awesome.
It, like I said, it only took us 28 years to realize that, yes, you can walk from the blind back to the cabin.
So why ever fuel up the boat again? Just get your exercise in.
Because I'm 5'4" and I wouldn't make it.
Well, listen, though. I mean, if you are, like, not even prepared enough to put enough gas in your boat for opening weekend, you should be able to know how to get back, I guess.
Oh, yeah. I mean, hey, we made it back.
You made it back. That's all that matters.
We actually figured something out.
All right. Well, anybody shoot any cool ducks? Danielle, you were on the maiden duck voyage of your new boat.
Oh, I was. I would just say the first bird in the boat was a green-winged teal.
Wow.
Nice. Yeah.
That's kind of a rare first thing to get in your boat in Wisconsin.
It was beautiful.
Yeah, we get a lot of blue-winged teal in Wisconsin, but green-wings, they are fairly rare. Did you eat it yet?
Now I have to. Yes, we did. I gave one breast to Bandit, of course. And then the other one, we shot four birds.
Of course. Yes. I don't know that I'd be giving my teal breast
to
my dog.
Every time Bandit retrieves a bird, he gets some of the meat.
Oh, aww. That's not a horrible idea, really.
Yeah, every time. If he's not there, then he gets...
Fancy's actually kind of work. Picky. Fancy will only eat the tenderloin of a goose. Fancy won't actually eat the goose breast.
Her name is Fancy.
But she'll take a whole plate of food off the counter.
She certainly will. She'll get into whatever she can. She'll come down and eat the knuckles off of the bearskin rug. But she's picky about her goose meat. So I can't explain that exactly. But I'm excited because today our show is going to focus a lot on wild game. What are some of our favorite recipes? And with sommelier Megan, the sommelier pirate on the show tonight with us, we're going to talk about
new
pairings. alcoholic pairings and even some non-alcoholic pairings, which I'm fairly excited about as the show goes on. Is there anything, I'm going to do a flash round here real quick. Flash round, favorite way to eat duck. Dave Sella, go.
Got to wrap bacon around it.
Megan.
Duck l'orange.
Danielle.
Fajitas.
Ellie.
Pan-seared brown butter.
Shredded for me. Ho-ho, this is Raised in Wisco. We're talking food coming up. Speaking of misty moonlight, the moon lately has been absolutely
so beautiful.
It has been.
It's been different colors. It's been, I'm telling you what, if you live in the state of Wisconsin and you sleep in the morning, get your ass out of bed and get into the outdoors because the sunrises in the autumn in Wisconsin are absolutely beautiful. And if you don't see it, we'll tell you about them here on Raised in Wisco, your one-stop shop for everything in the great outdoors of the great state of Wisconsin. My name is Joel Clayfish. I spend a great deal of my time in the outdoors, and I love every second of it, and I sure love eating. Danielle Fairman and I have been together for nearly two decades working, doing media for the outdoors, and using Wisconsin's outdoors to the best of our abilities and helping to protect it and conserve. Chef Ellie Lawton, who who's with us every week, brings us fantastic recipes, field to table. She's an award-winning chef who we are very fortunate to have along with us because I learn a lot, and it's a great way. So many people cook wild game and fish that they catch the same way over and over and over. And one of the greatest things about
Not anymore. Until you came along.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, one of the greatest things about this show is being able to find new recipes, do new things with wild game and fish. And we have incorporated into the show sommelier Megan Salazar, the sommelier pirate.
Dave just covered up his one eye. That's his eye patch.
Yes, and Dave Sella, the master of deer hunting, is along with us, too. And it's not coincidental. Dave and Megan are lovers.
That's adorable. It's a good thing with this light. You can't see you guys blush.
Dave
and Megan. Dave and
just
Megan.
Just kidding. You can't see your blush.
Love.
It's so cute.
Oh, I thought we were talking about food.
Wait, let's get back. Do you think that they're here? Only in love because they both can get the best of the outdoors from each other?
Oh, I don't know. It's a relationship.
Dave's got a boat. Megan's got some great dogs.
He's got, he's got a great dog.
He does have a great dog too. Ling's
a great cook. Oh,
shout out to Ling's.
Dave has got hunting land.
And he can
eat.
Dave can eat.
Great eater, so that helps.
He's a great
eater.
He's a great eater.
Oh, that is awesome.
As a foodie or a chef, no, tell me the truth. There is nothing better than watching people eat your food.
Oh, it's wonderful.
That's the best.
It's honestly the best thing.
That's the best thing I can ever see is people get excited about my food.
Yeah.
I have been told by my children and others that I get so excited about when people eat my food that I actually bite it when
I've seen you do that.
You do not.
I
really?
Phantom bite it. I am phantom
biting. Super embarrassing for you.
Well, thanks a lot. It's that bad. It's that obvious.
Oh, I'm very self-conscious about my cooking, actually.
Are you?
Oh, yeah, Megan, you're a great cook.
Traumatized when I was
everybody
younger.
Everybody is. I think everybody who loves to cook and everyone who's a chef is self-conscious about
and
their
I'm,
food.
I'm that's well, what I think of course, of myself about it, too.
Because when you cook a meal for somebody, all the pressure is on you. I mean, there's no one else to blame. I can't be like, well, Betty Crocker messed this one up for me.
Right.
It's not, that's not the way it goes. So there's more pressure. But as a chef, you grow a very thick skin and you have to have a good balance of you're confident in your food, but you're also open to suggestions and feedback, whether it's good or bad. So yeah, that's how I see it.
That definitely makes sense. And, you know, if you're new to the show, welcome, first of all. And we're very excited because Raised in Wisco is now on 25 civic media stations throughout Woo! Wisconsin and in Michigan and Minnesota. And we air at Saturdays at 11 a.m. on your civic media stations. And if you don't catch us live on Saturdays, Danielle Fairman, where can they listen to the show?
You can listen to us on Spotify and Apple. The best thing is you can take us anywhere if you ask your Alexa or Siri to play Raised in Wisco. You can see us on YouTube with our beautiful Halloween background right now.
Oh, yes. It's spooky
yes,
in here.
It is.
And then Facebook, where our lovely Salazar Pirate.
The Salazar Pirate.
The Salazar the Somalia, the Pirate.
The Philip... She's a sommelier.
That was training.
Oh, Megan.
And listen.
We'll come up with it.
We're
posting. We'll find something.
Our Facebook is active. Get on Facebook. Look up Raised in Wisco. Follow us. You're going to see recipes. You're going to see literally, if you wonder if we're the real deal or not, you're going to see what we do in the outdoors. We post pictures of our hunts, of our food, and we live what we talk about in the show, which I think is pretty exciting. Mm-hmm. We love having you along. And the most exciting thing to me is the audience is definitely growing because I'm hearing from people that they're listening to the shows and they're excited about the recipes we talk about. They're excited about getting to the outdoors and trying something they may not have tried before,
yeah,
which to me is one of the most exciting things about Raised in Wisco is, and I have to say, with the guests we've had on the show and having the cooking element to the show, I have been really trying new things. whereas you don't get stuck in a rut because you get ideas. And if you're new to hunting or fishing or camping, we're constantly bringing guests onto the show who have intriguing ways to enjoy the state of Wisconsin, which is also extremely exciting, which leads me to say, if you have an idea for Raised in Wisco, go on our Facebook page, send us a message, let us know what interests you and what you want to hear about. If you have questions about us, about the show, please submit those. We will talk about them on the air. Now, George Ermert, our number one listener.
Hey, George.
He is limited to only one or two questions a week. Otherwise, he would fill up the inbox.
We had to cap it.
But I'll say that please join us. We love having you along. We love doing the show. And I'm really excited because we're going to start talking food, what to pair with it, how to cook it, your favorites, and some simple things that can bring field to table in an easy way. This is Raised in. Dave Sella, what is it? Raised in?
Wisco.
Wisco.
Raised in Wisco. It's as simple as ABC, and 1, 2, 3, Raised in Wisco is going to help you figure out the best way for you to enjoy the outdoors of the state of Wisconsin. We're heard on all civic media stations Saturdays at 11 o'clock. If you don't catch us then, you can catch us after on the podcast, raisedinwisco.com, Raised in Wisco on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, Facebook. Follow our Facebook page. Megan Salazar, the sommelier pirate.
Yeah. Oh, up with I our like Facebook. Salad bar better.
Megan Salad Bar.
Sorry,
Salazar.
Jacob.
All right.
It's fine.
The I salad like both.
But we want to see your pictures too. So post
yes.
your
yeah, yes. post your pictures. Yes.
Let us
yes.
know when you
show us what you're up to.
Hey, Grace and Wisco.
We will talk about you. And yeah, I hate to tell you, you may end up being a guest on Raised in Wisco if you contact us through the Facebook page. We talk about everything from massive. Large-scale taxidermy of Samson from the zoo.
Oh, that was awesome.
The best way to preserve your game and fish, the best way to cook your game and fish. And that brings us to the sommelier portion of tonight's show, which I'm very excited about. I've figured
you're not
out,
even a drinker and you're excited about
well,
it.
Well, I'm excited.
Well,
yes,
let's talk about what a sommelier is first.
Great idea.
Sorry.
I was going to go with that.
Well, I read
idea.
Noah's teleprompter.
So Noah Morris from Morris Original, our on-the-spot producer here, got a new teleprompter. Now, I will say we are completely ad-lib. So if you're wondering why we sound like such a bunch of loons is because none of it is written down ahead of time. Megan Salazar, who's a common frequent contributor to the show, is a sommelier. And a sommelier is somebody who is actually trained in, Megan?
In wine. And other beverages as well, but primarily wine.
So
how to taste it, how to buy it, how to pair
from,
it.
The history of it.
Everything.
The different flavors, varietals, vintages, all that stuff. And there's different levels of it. I'm just a basic one.
Give us sommelier 101 today.
Give you sommelier one. Well, that's a lot. I mean,
scale it back, girl.
We will definitely try.
Yeah.
Well, having Megan on the show today, we're going to talk about some of the pairings for wild game. And I'm going to start with red meats. I want to talk about red meats, and I wanted you to be creative and talk a little bit about alcoholic versions in the wine and alcohol and beer categories. And then we're going to talk about some possible non-alcoholic pairings. But when you talk about red meat for wild game, most folks are talking about venison, right?
Yeah, mm-hmm. Venison, elk.
Sure. But
pronghorn.
Yeah, venison, elk, I guess pronghorn and
bear.
Black bear is a red meat. And I think a lot of people don't realize so is duck.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Wild duck certainly. Is not like from the store. It is a dark meat. So mm-hmm. what are your best things to pair with dark meats, Megan?
Okay, so first of all, I guess what I'd like to start with is the way I look at wine is almost like the way Ellie probably looks at salt and pepper mm-hmm. in food. So you're either looking to enhance it like you would with your salt, or you're looking to complement it like you would with your pepper. Would you agree?
Yeah. Okay. Totally.
So with the red meats, typically we're going to go with red wines, but there's big difference in red wines, whether they're super acidic or they're super tanniny. Do they have a lot of floral notes to them? Do they have more of a tobacco or smokiness to them? So you want to try to find things that are going to complement and pair well with that. So with venison, primarily you're going to look at like a Cabernet. It's a very strong wine, strong red wine to pair with a really strong red meat. Mm-hmm. Think about bear. When I make bear, I tend to usually pair it a lot with blueberries and fruits and stuff like that.
Yeah.
It goes really well with it. I mean, you
is
think
that
about it.
Because of what they eat? They
yeah,
eat
and it's not just bear. Any game animal, I always try to think about, A, what's in season when we harvest them. That always pairs fantastic with it. Venison, turnips, corn, all of that stuff always pairs really well with venison. So when I think about what I'm pairing wild game with, I think about what they're eating, what's in harvest, and then I try to think about different wines that would pair with that also. So bear, I'd probably go more of a fruity Merlot, something more berry-ish, and it's going to really complement the flavor of that bear meat that's going to come out.
Hmm. Yeah, that sounds fantastic.
I never thought about wine like that with food.
Yeah.
So the far as I can go, red meat, red wine, white meat, white wine. That's
not necessarily, because you
that's
think turkey's white meat, right?
Yeah.
But wild turkey is not really white meat. It's more of a darker meat. So it has a much stronger flavor profile to it that I would probably go red over white unless I had certain sauces or sides that I wanted to pair with a white wine that I needed that acidity from instead.
Mm-hmm. Makes sense.
You got to remember, you don't have the fat from the wild game either. So you have to look at things that are going to help enhance that instead of cut more acid into it when we have fat like we do in beef or even chicken or pork.
That's interesting.
Interesting.
I went really far into that.
Yeah, no,
I love that.
So, Megan, if you're a listener and you have not really dabbled in wines at all, and say you have a beautiful venison roast, how do you go to the store? Where do you go? And how do you look at a wine? And I know you said a Cabernet or a Merlot, but how can someone have the best experience picking something out that they're going to enjoy for a beginner wine drinker?
You mean as far as like just deciding and choosing?
Yeah.
I read the reviews from wines all over the place. Mm-hmm. So when I'm
you
at the store.
You can look them up too.
Oh yeah, absolutely.
While you're
there's
the
some
store.
Great apps that are there, or there's great apps on your phone that you can look up wines, and you can get other people's tasting notes on them too, because not everything's going to taste the same to me as it does to you. We all
right.
have different mm-hmm. flavor profiles that we like, things that we enjoy. Like I enjoy wines that, I mean, this probably sounds gross to people, but animal, leather, those barnyard
ooh,
smells.
Yeah.
Like,
I love
the way a barn smells, so I like my wine to smell mm-hmm. like that. But other people be like, oh, that smells like manure. But it's not.
It's like having
not manure. It's just a.
It's like having goat milk or goat cheese,
exactly.
something like that. If you
exactly.
like those flavors, then that would be your
some
route
people
to go.
Can take like stronger scents and stronger flavors, and they like those enhancements of it. And other people, they're a little more sensitive to it. So
with all these wines that you're talking about, this is probably a dumb question, but can you still...
There's no dumb questions.
So I'm drinking this wine. It pairs well. Can you cook with all
yeah,
these wines?
Yeah, absolutely.
Or does it have to be a particular type of wine to cook with wine?
Oh, gosh, no. Oh. Whatever you want to take the alcohol out of to enhance whatever meat you have, use that wine. I mean, a lot of times we just open a bottle, I cook with it, and whatever's left over is what we're drinking for dinner.
Or the other way around.
Or we have to open the second one. Yeah. That happens too.
I drank a whole bottle. Oh no.
It's only four glasses.
And I
exactly. This is Wisconsin.
There is kind of a revolution happening right now with non-alcoholic wines and beers. So.
Oh yeah.
There is a much more, you know, I haven't drank for 15 years, but I've tried some of these non-alcoholic wines and they really do have quite a delicious wine profile.
They taste
flavor
exactly the same.
Them.
They're using the exact same grapes that we're using for wine. So they're using Cabs, Merlots, Sauvignon Blanc, all of that stuff. And they're just taking the alcohol out of it. So you're getting all of the other stuff minus the heat from the alcohol.
That's wonderful.
That you would have from wine. Mm-hmm. Same thing with your non-alcoholic beers.
Right.
There's some fantastic stuff.
Oh my gosh.
There,
yes.
IPAs, things like that. So talking about beer, most of your game meat is going to pair really well with like your German Pilsners, lagers, something really light and crisp. Mm-hmm. But
okay.
bear, I would go with a stout or like an amber. Same thing with Duck.
And now they've got Guinness 00 out there now. And
delicious.
The
there's an entire aisle of just non-alcoholic beer.
It's
now.
Really yeah, great it's to wonderful. See. Non-alcoholic beer is the fastest growing segment of beer in the country right now.
Mm-hmm.
And overseas, they're even ahead of us. They've got a lot of these on tap. And I, you know, I'm a Radler fan and I'm thinking a Black Bear. So a Radler is essentially kind of like a Shandy. You're adding a sweeter soda to it. And I add elderberry to mine, which I think would pair perfectly well with Black Bear.
Ooh, oh, that'd yeah. be delicious.
Yeah,
you know, it would go really notes. Well with Duck as well. Cause I think about what the ducks eat and what well, goes well in that, the fall. And so we're talking cranberry, citrus, stuff like that.
Okay. And I want to note off of that real quick. Megan, you know a lot about Wisconsin wines. There's a lot of Wisconsin wineries. People don't realize that.
Oh, there's
yes, there are quite a few Wisconsin wineries. Wisconsin has its own viticultural area, like designation, just like some of the other places in California, New York, and Texas. But we have our own native grapes here, too, that yeah. we don't really explore oh, that much.
Do we?
So if you go to some of these Wisconsin wineries, a lot of them import their grapes in from other places, and they're sure. just making the wine here. But there are some that do use native Wisconsin grapes that grow really well in Wisconsin and the UP, like Frontenac.
Yeah.
Wow, that is fascinating. I absolutely love that. And there's something I want to talk about, because I tell people this, and they think I'm crazy. But when I eat wild game, I think wild game tastes like what it eats.
Yeah, certainly.
You shoot
I
wild
agree.
Hogs in Florida, they smell and taste like citrus when you're butchering mm-hmm. them. You know, fish, ducks that eat fish for a living have got a seafood note to them when right. you're eating them. The deer up here, you know, in this area, southeast Wisconsin, are much kind of a sweeter finish to them because they're eating corn and wheat.
Mm-hmm.
Up north, they're eating a lot of pine nuts. They've got much more of a strong, piney, almost a gin, juniper kind of taste.
Well, and
them.
That's like why we can compare just as like meat buyers from the store. There's a big difference between telling whether it's grass-fed, organic, free-range
yeah.
to sure. grain-fed cows that are mass-produced.
I can certainly tell difference.
Yes. And we don't eat a lot of store-bought meat anymore
mm-hmm.
unless we're out at a restaurant. But I mean, how many days a week do we have wild game, Dave?
I would say about 4 to 5.
Yeah, so
that's all I eat at home is wild game. And I do love the fact that the flavor profile of meat changes based on the season. It changes based on what the animal is eating in the wild. And for me, that's just another additional layer to the excitement of it. So talk to me about your whiter wild games, your pheasants, your chucker, your upland birds.
Rabbits.
Turkeys in the middle. Rabbits.
And rabbits. Rabbits. Yeah. Rabbits I would put in there too. And
alligator.
And wild boar and alligator.
Alligators
as well.
The white meat.
Something lighter. So crisp white wine, Sauvignon Blanc. If you want something that we might be preparing it a little more savory, you might want to go with something stronger like a Chardonnay where it's oaked and it has more buttery to it. Your fish, you want something that has a little more acid or butter to it. So again, Chardonnay, Sauvignon Blanc, Viognier.
Mm-hmm.
There's really great cheaper varietals out there too. And you don't have to buy an expensive bottle of wine. I mean, obviously don't be buying the $2
$2 chuck. Don't buy $2 chuck or so Mad great, Dog 2020.
That's a malt beverage, I think.
I'm not sure.
Well, can you talk about the years? Like the
yeah, does it matter?
Does
what
it matter?
Year? The wine is?
If it's American produced, it really doesn't matter. And until you get into expensive wines, it really doesn't matter either. I mean, in California, the wines are very manipulated as how they're produced and sitting in the oak barrels and everything and what vintages that they're taking and mixing things together that they can kind of keep the product very stable in the years. But if you start to go into Europe where they let it be what it is, that's when it might matter. And so unless you're spending $50, $60, $70 a bottle of wine,
because the years always get me. I hold the wine. I'm like,
we
do
have
not know.
Way more control over how they make wine now than they did a long time ago when that made sense. Yeah, obviously wildfires in California will affect the price and things like that. And it might affect the quality of the wine. But overall, we have a lot of control over it in the United States.
All right, real quickly, tell me something that's a drink to drink with dark meat versus white meat that's not wine or beer.
Like water? A cocktail?
Water? No, there are so many mocktails out there now, like fruit juices.
You can literally make any cocktail.
Apple cider and Jack Daniels.
Yes. Or vice versa.
Ooh, yeah,
ooh, apple cider is a fantastic
apple
one.
Apple cider. Yeah.
Pheasant or pork.
Oh, yeah.
Fantastic.
I love fresh homemade apple cider off the farm with wild turkey in the winter.
And you can make a great sauce out of it.
Made a bunch of apple cider.
We've got the recipe of the week, which I'm excited about. Chef Lawton's got that. This is Raised in Wisco. Vita Loca right here in Wisconsin. I'm Raised in Wisco. I'm your host, Joel Clayfish. Danielle Fairman is sitting in the co-host seat. Our renowned chef, Ellie Lawton, the chefery of the show, and the sommelier pirate, Myron, I can't even say it, Megan, the salad bar, Salazar.
How do you want it?
How do I have so many nicknames?
I don't know. You got more
so
nicknames
many personalities.
Than Carter's Got Pills. And Dave Sella, master of all game camera here, is with us. I think Megan just dragged him along because they're in love. I can't say it enough.
What the heck?
I love it.
What's going on? Danielle, here's where you do what's happening.
What is happening?
What is happening?
Oh, my gosh. Now, I don't know if I'd be lying if I didn't say that. The cooking segment of the show. Gets
we all
me
know
the
it's your favorite.
Excited.
We all know
I
this.
Love eating. Food is my favorite dish. And here on Raised in Wisco, we don't just talk about what to do in the great outdoors of Wisconsin. We tell you how to enjoy it and how to take what is out there and put it on the table in a very simple way. You know, I thought of this today. Megan's a sommelier, but she really simplified how to take something to drink and complement your food. And that's what I like. We've got an actual sommelier here, a certified French chef here, but we're not getting into the weeds. These are recipes and things you can do at home that are delicious and easy.
This is easy stuff, guys.
I don't know if the recipe for tonight is easy or not. Chef Lawton,
what
do
we got? It is so easy.
The
we're talking
intimidates me.
Venison Wellington.
Ooh.
So
it's one of my favorites.
Yeah.
It's a British dish,
it's
is it
so
not?
So good.
Really?
I don't know. It is. Sounds
Venison
like
Wellington.
It. I'm not British, so I don't know.
British.
I'm not from around there.
All right. Here. So, you ain't from around them parts?
I ain't from around those parts. So should we talk about it?
Yes.
All right. Let's talk about
it. That's the Joel shut up. We're getting to the food.
So very easy recipe. Megan's going to post this later on next week, probably.
It's a good thing I made one a little while ago.
Yeah. Well, I'm going to be making this one again. This is on repeat all the time. Okay. Ingredients. Puff pastry. Go to the grocery store. Get some puff pastry out of the freezer. Don't make it. It's really a hassle to make. I hardly ever say that to people, but just don't make it. Danielle, you got it?
Done.
And then venison, a venison loin or a roast. You could contact Dave Sella if you need some because he's a professional deer hunter.
We're giving Dave a lot of credit.
Yeah.
He better shoot a 200 plus this year.
All right.
Yes.
So we are.
Oh.
Pounds, right?
Yeah,
sure.
All right. So a puff pastry, venison. You can also use elk. You can use antelope. You can do a pork loin with this recipe. I've tried it, guys.
Ooh,
it's amazing. You could, of course, use beef. That's the traditional way to make it. And then you're going to want some portobello mushrooms, onions. I'm going to throw some spinach in mine, some garlic, and prosciutto, salt and pepper.
Oh,
mustard.
And
prosciutto's
mustard, Dijon, or stone ground. You could do either one. So here's how I make mine, okay? And I tweak mine depending on what I have in my fridge, too. I'll throw extra herbs in there, or maybe I'll do like a buttery sauce over the top. But you're going to get a pan, put some bacon grease in it. If you don't have bacon grease, make some bacon, people. Danielle's like, yeah, duh.
Danielle's with you so far. Yeah.
When you make bacon, don't throw the grease out. It is fantastic this time of year for soups and stews and chilies and venison Wellingtons, all sorts of dishes.
And the burns.
Yes, Danielle. So you're going to get a pan, cast iron pan, heat up your bacon grease, sear that meat on all sides so it's golden brown. Don't cook it. You're just searing it, okay? Set that aside. Let it come to room temperature. Get out a piece of film, saran wrap. Lay it on your counter. Take prosciutto. You'll need about probably 4 to 6 pieces, depending on how big your meat is. And lay it on the saran wrap, okay, because what you're going to do is you're going to place your mushroom and onion mixture that I'm going to talk about in a minute on that. Then you're going to put your meat on it, and you're going to roll it in that saran wrap, okay? Joel, you got it?
Yeah, I'm hungry.
Okay. You doing okay?
I'm not doing great because I'm very hungry, and it sounds delicious already.
So meat has been seared. Puff pastry's been pulled out of the freezer. It's defrosted. Prosciutto is laying on the saran wrap. And in another pan, we have diced up mushrooms and onions with some butter. I use portobello, but you can use whatever you have. Use a medley.
I have to go to the store and buy these.
Okay, Danielle. Well, that's okay. You can go to the store.
Use canned mushrooms.
So you are going to cook those mushrooms and onions down. You can actually put them in a food processor to cut them all up because you kind of almost want it a little pasty. Almost. Oh, okay. Right, Megan?
Yeah, as fine as possible. I use the food processor.
Yeah.
I also use dehydrated morel.
Yeah, you can.
Gotta hurry up.
Oh, we got to hurry up, guys. Okay. So we're going to finish the mushrooms and onions. We're going to spread that over the prosciutto. And then you're going to take the meat that is cooled down and you're going to cover it in mustard. So Dijon mustard, stone ground mustard, both taste fantastic. Put the meat on the mushroom mixture that is on the prosciutto. Wrap it up. Let it sit, put it in the cooler or the refrigerator if you're going to make it the next day. I like mine to sit for about a day or two. Megan, how long do you let yours sit?
An hour.
Oh, I let mine sit for like a day or two. And then you're going to pull it out, wrap it in that puff pastry, do an egg wash over the puff pastry. So you're just whipping up an egg and brushing it over, throw it in the oven. And
how
it
long?
Is beautiful.
Oh, I am so
It depends on how big of piece of meat you're going to use.
Sure.
So we'll post that on the recipe, and then you can go from there.
And you're going to want to hit it to about 135 or so, 130, 135 internal
temp. For venison, yes. Yeah. God, good job, Joel.
Thank you.
Look at you
I've
go.
I've been working on it. And remember, when you take it out at 130, it will continue to cook as it is resting. You want to let it rest because then you won't lose all the juice when you
then
cut
what
it.
Venison, I like
having
a good medium. If I'm doing beef, I like medium rare Wellington.
And remember, if you're cooking black bear, it's got to be cooked all the way. Oh, my God.
Wine, I'm going Pinot Noir.
Oh,
Pinot Noir
goes
great with the mushrooms.
What are the flavors of that?
Oh, berries and red fruit, bright
fruit. A sweeter wine.
Yep, a little bit sweeter, but not heavy.
Love it.
Hey, folks, get out there, try these recipes. They're going to be fantastic. You're going to be surprised with yourself, because believe me, I'm surprised when I try it. It's delicious. Thanks for joining us. We'll catch you next week on Raised in Wisco. Woo!